Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is our Wednesday midweek edition of Jumping the Gun here. The final day of July 2013, the Buckmaster Show live each weekday from noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice and Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We stream the show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we make it very easy for you to hear our program anytime, anywhere by visiting buckmastershow.com, where we put up the podcast. And then we also podcast with the TucsonCitizen.com and the TucsonSentinel.com, and also a shout-out to the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, GVNews.com. They have a prominent link of our program on their homepage, as does BlogForArizona.com. During this noon hour, midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show, we'll talk with former Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup, who is now honorary consul for the Republic of Korea, representing the state of Arizona. 30 minutes past the hour, University of Arizona agricultural specialist Dr. Jeffrey Silvertooth will join us as the U of A joins forces with Arizona's growing wine industry. And we'll close out the show with discussing the new efforts to make Tucson International Airport's website more user-friendly. We'll speak with Mary Davis out at TIA. If you have a question or comment for Mayor Walkup, our Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, or you can follow us on Facebook. We have a very easy place, easy to find. It's Bill Buckmaster, Buckmaster Show, and joining us now, Mayor Walkup. Mayor Walkup was the head of the city of Tucson for 12 years, and now he has a new role as South Korea's new honorary consul. Mayor, good to see you.
Hey, good to be here.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you speak any Korean?
Well, it's I don't know how my y'all.
You'll be learning, I'm sure, very quickly.
I'm sure. I hope so.
Have you been to Korea?
Yes. I wouldn't put it into the many times, but in the 80s, as part of my job with Fairchild Republic, was visiting various countries, and I went over there selling airplanes, as a matter of fact, to the Korean government. So, no, I'm very familiar with South Korea, clearly, and their global impact currently is amazing.
50,000 South Koreans living in Arizona, is that about right?
That is correct, and about 6 to 8 here in Tucson.
How did this come about, Mayor?
Well, it started, frankly, first part of this year. I got a phone call from the Honorary Consul, Consul General Shin in Los Angeles, and he said, Mr. Walkup, your name has been presented to us as a possible candidate for the Honorary Consul for the Republic of Korea, serving the state of Arizona. Are you interested? And I said, oh, absolutely.
Well, okay.
So, and that started the process. And Bill, I tell you, it is quite a process because I would be a U.S. citizen that is representing a foreign country, and the State Department is very involved with those kinds of appointments.
Does the State Department have to sign off on those?
Oh, my word, yes. Background check. That took about 5 months of processing.
How many honorary consuls are there? Do you have any idea here in
yes.
the state?
Well, first of all, in the state of Arizona, there are 30 honorary consuls representing a wide variety of countries. And most of those honorary consuls are citizens of the U.S., but their country of origin is the country that they are the honorary consul for. And there's a total of 30 in the state of Arizona.
Mr. An, you and Mr. An are very close, and he is very well, understand, politically connected in Korea. So his influence was probably very important.
Well, Mr. An, everybody knows Mr. An, and he's been a wonderful supporter of what's happening in the city of Tucson, and clearly a person that cares about his country of origin. And he and I worked for the 12 years that I was mayor on education and giving young people in Korea a chance to come to America and come to the state of Arizona. And he was instrumental in organizing a Korean exchange program. So, no, Mr. Han is a great citizen of the city of Tucson.
Korea, South Korea, one of America's largest trading partners. This country does billions and billions of dollars in trade. And I'm sure you would like to see some of that happen here in Arizona.
Oh, for sure. That is one of the items of a responsibility that I have, is to act as a liaison officer for the promotion of trade and economy, culture, and scientific and educational relationships. And trade, you're exactly right. We're a bit on the short side of trade with Korea. The we import about $54 billion, and we export about $34-35 billion. So we're a bit on the short side, and I think that we'd as a country we'd like to fix that.
The people with the Port of Tucson were also instrumental in getting this appointment.
Well, it's Alan Levine, and Alan Levine is the definition of somebody with great patience and perseverance. Used his own money to establish the port and a rail switching yard that he put in with his own money and contracted with Union Pacific. And Bill, the opportunity that we have is we're on the Union Pacific track that thousands of empty containers flow through Tucson on the way to Long Beach, upwards of 4,000 a day.
Really, that many?
And so the conversation is there a way that we can work with Korea and help them out being more cost-effective on getting containers filled and shipped to South Korea or shipped really to the Orient? So that's a great opportunity for us.
What kind of issues come up with the thousands of Korean residents here? What kind of things will you be helping these people with?
Well, one of the first thing that the Consul General said to me was, there are many states in the country that a foreign visitor or for somebody that is here working for some period of time, all they need to do is present a Korean driver's license, and a driver's license is issued. In the state of Arizona, it's a fairly elaborate system of application to get a driver's license. So one of my first orders of business is to talk to the legislature and see if this is a state issue or a federal issue, and is there something that we can do about it.
Mayor Walkup with us, Bob Walkup, 12-year mayor of Tucson and now honorary consul representing Arizona for the South Korean government. 790-2040, 790-2040. Are you planning a trip to Korea?
I think that would be appropriate. I've talked to Mr. Ahn, and it would be something that, I'd like to do this fall. He's kind of warned about doing it during the winter and probably not during the summer. So the fall would be an appropriate time. And, yes, I'd like very much to go over and talk to people with Mr. Ahn on what are some of the great opportunities that we have.
Let's switch gears here, talk a little bit about, as you have watched downtown, the downtown seems to be booming. For years, people knocked the consul and you for – well, nothing was people would say nothing is being done downtown.
Well, it was a slogan that said, you know, we spent $230 million and has nothing to show for it. Well, first of all, right now all you have to do is go downtown to see all the building that is going on. And it's beneficial building. It's creating jobs and it's creating energy and attracting people to the downtown. I think the modern streetcar really said to the university that you can use downtown as part of the campus. And with that, took the pressure off of the university for moving into neighborhoods and building mini dorms, and gave the university and the investors a chance to build dormitories. And I think right behind that, Bill, will be a campus with classrooms and part of the university moving downtown and having students attending classes downtown.
I remember the day that the so-called Tiger Grant, the federal grant that really paved the way for the modern streetcar. I remember you saying to me on that day that this probably or is the most important day probably of your 12 years as mayor.
And it's turning out that way. A lot of people said, why in the world would the government fund half of a streetcar program in the city of Tucson? And it was not, Bill, it was not easy, but at the end of the day, we got the award of some $75 million over a number of months, but it totaled $75 million, and that started the whole process of investors saying something is happening in Tucson. But without matching funds, it was just a possibility, and that changed everything.
All right, we're going to take a break right here as we come toward 12:16 on this midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup is with us and now honorary consul to the Republic of Korea. 790-2040, 790-2040. Perhaps you disagree with the mayor about downtown and Rio Nuevo. Give us a call, 790-2040. We'll be right back.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAmobility.com or Facebook.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com. Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and three juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Tucson former mayor Bob Walkup is with us. He was the mayor of Tucson for 12 years. He has a new challenge now on his plate. He's the honorary consul to the Republic of Korea. There are some over 50,000 South Korean residents here in Tucson, and he will be taking care of their needs. Mayor Walkup, we've been talking a little bit before the break about the modern streetcar. You're very much involved with the Friends of the Tucson Modern Streetcar. How much investment would you say has gone into downtown since the streetcar was announced?
Well, the number I'm going to give you comes from the citizens group that is active downtown, and is made up of business owners. And they added up from the public sector, the private sector, the state, federal, it's right at $1 billion have gone into downtown area, which includes the west side, and just from the beginning. And it was really Rio Nuevo and TIF funding that started the process of the investment in the downtown. A lot of it went into the ground, if you remember. We had some environmental issues over on the west side. But anyway, it's right at $1 billion.
What's going on next with what will happen, do you see next with downtown? I mean, we maybe have reached the saturation point with new restaurants, but other things have got to start to happen with housing and...
There's two things that haven't happened yet that are going to herald the beginning of the new wave of downtown. First of all, they are still building the housing, so they don't have the students in the housing yet. The other thing is they just finished laying the track, and the first car is due here, I think, this month. So if we get new students downtown and the streetcar starts working, the investment community is going to start saying, well, now what do we need downtown? Do we need a grocery store? Do we need other businesses? How about boutique hotels? What about some business, maybe some mini industries in the downtown area? So I think the next phase, next 3 to 5 years, is going to be filling in behind all the energy that the students brought and the streetcar has brought to downtown.
How big a black eye is Grand Canyon University deciding not to come to Tucson and go to Mesa instead? How big a black eye is that for us here in Tucson?
Well, it's something we're going to have to live down. A lot of people will ask that question. Was there something we could have done because they wanted to come to Tucson? And when somebody wants to come to Tucson and then decides, well, it's going to go somewhere else, there are reasons that happened. I don't know exactly the underlying details, but it's really a sad moment when something that is as important as an educational university could not put together all the deal to be able to come to Tucson. I think that's a sad moment.
You've heard people say or compare Tucson. We're becoming, I think some folks call us, the Detroit of the desert. When you hear that, what do you think?
I cannot tell you how much energy goes into working to be sure that we have a balanced budget, that we know where our costs are and we control our costs. and that we worry about generating revenues. And generating revenues is a function of having a strong economy, which is what happens with downtown. It's what's going to happen with the modern streetcar. And our good friends out at Raytheon are still in a strong position with the Defense Department. That'll be a band of work that stays with us for the next decade. So I think that it's something that we need to be concerned about. But we are a strongly managed city, and they worry about balancing the budget and allowing it to grow a diverse growth in Tucson.
Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup with us, 790-2040. Will you have an office? How will this work with the honorary consul job? Are you going to work out of your home office, or how's that going to work?
Home office, but you know, Bill, I want to get downtown. I want to have a place downtown where things are going on. And such things as there is no Korean bank in the state of Arizona. And if we're going to have investments, international investments, wouldn't it be a right thing to have a new bank in this state? And all that happens downtown. So that's why I'm trying to get myself downtown. But I'm going to take my time and do it right.
You also brought up in the Arizona Daily Star about Korean Airways does not have a training base in the United States. Is that correct?
Maintenance and repair, modifications. Uh-huh. If an aircraft fails, they've got to take it back to Korea to adequately fix it, and any modifications. So we have got a magnificent airport with a lot of room to do that kind of work in Tucson. So that's on my list as a possible opportunity.
And there is precedent. I remember when the German Lufthansa Airlines, the pilots trained here in Tucson for years. So international travel and pilot training is not new to Tucson.
It is not new to Tucson.
Let's go to Matthew on the Buckmaster Show. Matthew has a question or comment for Mayor Walkup. Go ahead.
First, congratulations, Mayor Walkup. I think you are the perfect person for this position. And I think it's a huge opportunity for both Tucson and for Arizona that you were given this position.
Thank you.
Have you discussed the position at all with the governor and with the Arizona Commerce Authority to explore? I mean, the fact that you're one of only 30 from Korea, and we have the opportunity with the universities. I'm sure we already have a lot of Korean exchange students, but I mean the opportunity for our universities to both work with Korean universities and also bring their students to our universities, one thing. And also with the Arizona Commerce Authority, have you had a chance to talk to them? Hey, what are the top key things that we need to be addressing with Korea?
The question is precisely appropriate. I have met with the governor about a month and a half ago with a number of other honorary consuls from other countries. She was very interested in what is the role of honorary consuls, and specifically, how can her her office get more involved in key issues. She has assigned one of her staff to work with us. And I've met with that staff member. And so it's on our docket. You touched on something that I think is high. Can we establish an honors program at one of our universities where we focus on making scholarships available for Koreans? The Korean country, as you know, is pushing all the envelopes in transportation, in electronics, and is a real emerging power.
One of the most highly literate societies, South Korea, in the world.
So I think to answer the question, the governor is absolutely involved. And the first, first area is exactly what you mentioned, which is the importance of education and what the Koreans can bring to the party. And thanks for your comments.
Mayor, thank you very much for being with us, and congratulations on your new position.
Thank you, and congratulations on your response on the
The Tucson Weekly.
Tucson Weekly.
That was nice.
That was nicely done, Bill.
Thank you very much. Bob Walk up with us in the first half hour. Next up after the break, we'll be talking about Arizona's growing wine industry. More and more wineries opening up throughout southeastern Arizona. We'll talk about that right after this.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel is warning that the Pentagon may have to mothball up to three Navy aircraft carriers and order more sharp reductions in the size of the Army and Marine Corps if Congress doesn't act to avoid massive budget cuts beginning next year. The head of the NSA has faced some heckling today at a hackers conference in Las Vegas, where he offered no apologies for methods used by the NSA to, in his words, connect the dots and go after bad guys who aim to kill people. The Federal Reserve says the U.S. economy is growing modestly. That's a downgrade from the Fed's June assessment. And on Wall Street, the key averages are higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up about 49 points. The NASDAQ Composite Index ahead 26. The S&P up 8. More details at srnnews.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
12:34 on this Wednesday, midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster, and we're on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We are here every weekday, 12:04 to 1. We hope it will be a part of your noon hour as we stream the show also at buckmastershow.com or kvoi.com, so you can listen to the program at your desk or wherever. University of Arizona is teaming up with the Arizona Wine Growers Association to help boost the state's growing wine industry. Joining me in studio, Dr. Jeffrey Silvertooth. Jeff is the UA College of Agriculture and Life Sciences Associate Dean for Economic Development, and he is Director of Arizona Cooperative Extension. Jeff, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Likewise, Bill. Thank you. Good to see you.
This wine industry, give us an overview. It has really, the whole industry has just exploded, hasn't it?
It really has. It's a good story. You know, it's a relatively young industry in Arizona, about 40 years old, I believe about 1970 or so. The first vineyards were planted and the first wineries came into production, primarily here in southern Arizona. And since that time, now we have like over 1,000 vineyards that, you know, were in production, for commercial production that we know of, and about 80 wineries around the state. And that's just really exploded just really in the past probably 10 years. It's really taken off. Really in the past five is quite notable.
Southeastern Arizona, of course, is one of those major areas. Where else? What are the other hot areas?
Well, like you say, southeastern Arizona, which primarily would consist of Santa Cruz and Cochise counties. And then the other real hot spot, so to speak, would be up in the Yavapai County area, particularly in the Verde Valley, around Cottonwood and that area, particularly the Verde Valley. Now, there are vineyards and wineries and tasting rooms all around the state now. But in terms of the centers of production and then the centers of the wineries themselves, those, like you say, would be southern Arizona, Cochise, Santa Cruz, and then Yavapai County, the Verde Valley specifically.
How can the University of Arizona help these growers?
Well, we're working on that. There are several things that have come to mind right now in our discussions in the past year and a half or so with the folks in the association, one of which would be we're combining with Yavapai College, who provides a two-year degree in both viticulture and enology, you know, the production of the wine grapes in the field and then the production of wine. And that's a nice two-year program. We're talking about articulating with them with our four-year degree programs that students could then transfer in to finish a degree in sustainable plant systems. And we don't offer a specific, say, a specialization in viticulture or enology, but with the background from Yavapai College at the two-year degree level, associate degree, that's a nice complementary package. And so we're working to articulate those programs. The other thing, too, that we've been working with the folks at the production level, and that is to bring some, say, agronomic principles into the field and working with them to address some of their production problems. And I've had some interaction with them. They have a list of things they'd like to address. So there's quite a few things that way. And then in terms of just looking ahead and being able to develop strategic plans.
How is the soil, Jeff, for wine growing in these regions?
It's good.
And what do you need to be a successful wine grower in Arizona?
Both are good questions. First of all, the soils part is really interesting. Now, I myself an agronomist in soil science and soil scientist, so I've always found this fascinating. Matter of fact, there was a gentleman in our soil and water environmental science department here at the U of A named Dr. Gordon Dutt. And when I first came on board about 27 years ago, I met Gordon. He was excited about the relationship of the soils of southern France that were highly productive with regard to wine grape production being similar to some soils here in Arizona, specifically down in Santa Cruz County. Matter of fact, Gordon Dutt bought some of the land. He was such a believer in the concept. Mm-hmm. And he and his son developed one of the first vineyards and wineries down there. But it's interesting, the relationships in the development of the soils of Arizona do pair up very nicely with some of those regions in southern France. But beyond that, our soils, particularly where the vineyards are being developed, drain well, of course, textured usually. So they drain well, they're conducive to the development of the vines. And so far, they've been very productive. One of the problems has been, though, the occurrence of a Pierce's disease. It's a soil-borne fungal organism. And that seems to be fairly prevalent here. It's not just in Arizona, but it happens other places. But that's one factor that the growers are dealing with.
Earlier this summer, I spent some time, Jeff, over in the Pasos Robles area, which mm-hmm. is of Central California, which is just, again, another area that's just booming, doubling and tripling the number of wineries in the Pasos Robles area of Central California. And one of the things they were telling me, the vintners, is they have a water issue. That right now they're relying on an underground stream, I believe, from the Salinas River. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering about water. How water intensive is this industry for southeastern Arizona?
Now, that's a very good point. You know, anytime we're talking about crop production systems in the desert, water is the most limiting factor for us. And that certainly would be true with regard to these vineyards, like you say. In the case of the vineyards, most of the vineyards that I have visited, and I think, I don't know if this is, say, universal, but most of them have been thinking ahead on this. And with regard to water quantity and water conservation, most of them have installed drip systems and bubbler irrigation systems that are pretty efficient with regard to their water delivery. However, one of the questions that the folks managing these vineyards have of us is, well, do we really know what we call water consumptive use patterns are with these vines? And they're managing kind of by feel with regard to the water, which can be done successfully, by the way. But that's one of the questions that we have possibly to consider is, well, how well do we manage these vineyards with regard to optimum production, providing the water at the right time and the right place in relation to how the crop grows and what the crop demands are. But so far, I think they're pretty good. The other question with regard to water we have here, Bill, is water quality. And a lot of times we have wells or water sources that may be saline or might be carrying other, ionic constituents that are contents of the soil, of the water, that need to be evaluated, need to be managed appropriately for good plant production.
What's the water table like in that area of southeastern Arizona for vintners?
It's like every place else. It varies from spot to spot.
Right.
You know, you can find a good well and go down the road a half a mile and hit rock for miles and miles. But for the most part, they're finding decent water. I know there are some places down there, too, where I've been told that we have some good potentials for wine production or vineyard production. But they're limited on the water and the wells that they have there in terms of quantity.
It's 12:41 on the Buckmaster Show. We are speaking with Jeffrey Silvertooth, Dr. Silvertooth, the University of Arizona College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. He is Associate Dean, and he's also Director of the Arizona Cooperative Extension. Jeff, stick your headset on there so you'll be able to hear this call. Jim has a comment for us about land restrictions in wine-growing areas. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Silvertooth. Listen, my concern is that there seems to be a growing political will to restrict how the land is used in Santa Cruz County and Cochise County, whether it be for agriculture or any other kind of use, industrial or anything. And I'm wondering is, just because we can do something somewhere, you know, that it's scientifically possible to do it, do you think politically there will be a will for people to actually, you know, want to wrestle those questions of water and national registry of the land and all of those kinds of things?
Well, Jim, that's a good question, and I first of all have to qualify my response in that you asked me to wander out into the realm of politics and making predictions, but in the sake of responding to your question, I think in my experiences working in Arizona that the rights, the landowner rights, will probably prevail. I mean, I see this in a lot of places, but, you know, the question that we come up with regard to good use of land management and what's appropriate, say, application of lands for various purposes, I think there are good things to think about it with regard to our own strategic planning for our region as we move forward, particularly with regard to the use of land and water, et cetera. But with a specific response to your question about the use of these lands in southern Arizona for vineyards, and I know there's some discussion about that, that'll be an interesting process, but I would venture to guess, and this is just my guess, this isn't certainly University of Arizona's policy, but my guess would be the landowner rights will probably prevail if they have a solid production management plan.
Jeff Silvertooth with us, Dr. Silvertooth from the University of Arizona, talking about the really growing wine industry, and the economic effects for this could be really huge, couldn't they, Jeff?
Yeah, they absolutely. You know, one of the things that has been already demonstrated is just simply the tourism in the Verde Valley. When I've made a few trips into that area, that's one of the things they point out very quickly. And the evidence of that can be seen in the little town of Cottonwood. If you visited up there, you know, there's kind of like two parts of the town. There's the old Cottonwood on the north side and the more stable existing community on the south side. And the old Cottonwood Village has really expanded in the past several years. I think there were five wine tasting rooms there, several vineyards that are local in the area. Of course, all the other shops, the cafes, everything else kind of expands off of that. It's a good demonstration of that kind of economic impact, economic development that can take place.
One of your other roles, Arizona Cooperative Extension. Folks may not realize it, but the University of Arizona, as a land grant university, has a agriculture extension. What are your roles as that cooperative extension?
I appreciate you bringing that up, Bill. You know, that's fundamental to a land-grant institution. We have one of those institutions in each state. University of Arizona is that land-grant institution in Arizona, which has a fundamental objective of doing really two things, and that is bringing education to the public and making it available to the general citizenry of Arizona, and secondly, to bring science to bear on practical problems. And the cooperative extension component of our college is really the hands-on or delivery end, where we really kind of where the rubber meets the road, where we bring science out and we take it literally out in the state and work with various constituents to bring science to bear on practical problems. What we're talking about today is a good example, a good case in point. Here's an industry that's growing, has issues in development, and we're working as a partner with them to try to bring science to bear on practical problems. And so you see this in every part of the state. In fact, we have offices associated with the University of Arizona Cooperative Extension from our college, Agri-Life Sciences, in every county in the state. We're part of every department in our college. We're at every one of our ag centers. So this is
a great resource for people.
Absolutely. We have not only the agricultural components, but the 4-H youth development and the family consumer health sciences. So it's a broad spectrum kind of program representing our college, really, Bill.
And really, agriculture is such a historic part of Arizona. A lot of people start to forget about that as we continue to grow, but it's certainly one of our roots, isn't it, Jeff?
Absolutely. Of the four C's, cotton, copper, and cattle, and all agricultural ventures that were part of that.
Jeff Silvertooth, thank you for spending some time with us. Good luck as you work with the Arizona wine industry. Which do you prefer, the reds or the whites? What kind of wine is doing very well here quickly?
Well, I prefer the reds myself, Bill.
Okay.
But I understand from the experts that are in the industry that both are doing quite well, and they say if you like wine, you can find a good one from Arizona.
Thanks, Jeff. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
We'll talk about Tucson International Airport and their new website, and it's very user-friendly. That's coming up on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees.
Order up.
But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza.
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
And a carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
$12.50 on the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. This portion brought to you by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They are so excited about having you, our listeners from Southern Arizona, take a trip over to Silver City. It's only 3.5 hours east of Tucson, and it is about 15 degrees cooler, which is really good news. But the reason they're so excited this week, it's the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival. If you love pottery and all of the wonderful things associated with it, the workshops and the juried exhibitions, Silver City is the place to be all this week and especially this weekend. And lots of nice places to stay, including Wildwood Retreat in Hot Springs and Cottage of Whispering Canyon. You can find out more on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org, spelled out, southwestnewmexico.org. And speaking of websites, Tucson International Airport has redesigned its website. Now it is www.flytucson.com. And joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, live line from TIA, is Mary Davis. Mary is the Senior Director of Business Development and Marketing at TIA. Mary, how are you today?
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well. Tell me about the redesign of the website.
I learned actually in this process that it's called a reskin. We reskinned the website. You know, we have the new brand. It's the way to go, and we've been rolling that out over the last year. And the other major thing that happened is about 3.5 years ago, when TAA first redid the website, the flytucson.com was not available. Somebody owned that domain name. So a couple of things kind of came together all at the same time. We were able to secure the flytucson.com domain name. We had the reskin, the new branding coming out. And so it all just came together to help us at this time of the year when we were ready to relaunch the site. After we did the new site 3 years ago, we also did some monitoring and tracking and talked to the different departments about a year and a half ago to see how they were finding it in terms of user ease and convenience. And there were a number of pages that were really designed from the inside looking out as opposed to the outside looking in. And so we hope we've made some things more user-friendly from the customer standpoint in order to get to information quicker about your travel experience. And then finally, we added a mobile web application. So one of our most popular sections of the website is flight information, of course, arrivals, departures, and we have a widget in there through Flight View that allows you to kind of track that through the map and everything. And so that's now a mobile application. So if you log on to our site, it'll automatically go to that mobile application so you can get to your flight information much more quickly. So those are just a few of the things we're really proud of.
Well, we've got that site pulled up right now in front of me, and it's a very good-looking site, and it looks very easy to use and navigate. And I think one of the popular features has been this cost calculator that lets folks determine what their flight might cost, comparing it with our friends up the road in Phoenix.
Yeah, and actually, that's a good point. We think the cost calculator is a very interesting tool. It was below the fold as it was before with the website, and we really wanted to bring that tool up to the forefront of the site and bring attention to it. And it's worked. A lot more people are going to the cost calculator. They're more aware of that tool, and it is. It takes into consideration all the costs involved with putting your trip together and comparing travel out of Phoenix versus travel out of Tucson. It incorporates parking and even your time and the travel that it takes to get there. So hopefully people will find that a useful tool and come to the conclusion, as we hope, that it's definitely the way to go flying out of Tucson.
And it's very simple. It says do the math, and then you can put in the cities, and then you can get your cost calculation. The perception remains that many people have that it is cheaper to fly out of Phoenix, and that is not necessarily the case, is it, Mary?
That is not necessarily the case. There are a number of factors, as you know, Bill. You travel a lot. It can be time of year. It can be the time that you give yourself to book the trip, and it certainly can relate to the destination. There are a number of studies that are done annually that compare our top 10, top 12 destinations served by both Phoenix and Tucson, and we generally come out, if not equal, than as we were 2 years ago, and actually a dollar cheaper when all the costs were considered in that. So that's not going to be the case all the time, and it's not going to be the case with every particular trip. But we've had business people tell us, you know, that they find flying their employees to business events and conferences out of Tucson has proven to be much less expensive than Phoenix. When you get into the leisure side and you're dealing with families, you know, you can definitely find that there are less expensive ways to go out of Phoenix because of the destinations and because of frequency that they're looking at. So it really is, it's not an all or nothing proposition, and we're never going to be compared equally to Phoenix, but we do believe that our airline partners have put in some opportunities that do make it affordable to support the airport, and the more our passengers do that, the better our chances of getting more air service here, so...
And people have been talking, one of the complaints, well, you can't get from here to there. Well, now is an opportunity for you to get certainly nonstop Tucson to Portland, an area that I know everyone associated with the air travel industry locally had been hoping for that Portland service. But now it's beyond hope. We need to make it a reality and get people to go up there and use that Alaska flight, correct?
That flight and every other flight that we have, because as we meet with the airlines on a regular basis and we provide these opportunities, how Portland performs is going to send a message to the other airlines that we meet with that we are talking about other destinations. It's really time to show the airlines that Tucson is a market that will support its airport, that will support the air service, that they invest in our community to meet our community's needs. So Portland is important for making it successful for Alaska, but also for the other airlines to see that we can make it work.
And I'll tell you what else is important, and this might be overlooked sometime, but it's important to support people who live in Tucson and work at Tucson International Airport. Everybody from the vendors to the people that work for the airlines. I mean, it really is. These are our friends and our neighbors that are working out there.
TIA supports nearly 35,000 jobs through direct and indirect employment. So it's definitely a jobs program, and it's important to support our high-quality jobs at the airport as well. They are your neighbors.
Mary, we're wrapping this up, but I know that there are some plans for a terminal, kind of updating the terminal. Can you quickly give us that, renovating one of the terminals?
Actually, we're looking at more efficiencies throughout the terminal on both of the concourses, moving security from the center of the access points off to either end so that we can expand, add more lanes, add more revenue opportunities, in concessions for our travelers. Everything is so constrained now. So this study and the redesign that we're going through, which hopefully will be done in the next 3 years or so, will certainly offer a lot more convenience and amenities for the traveling public. Very exciting.
Mary, thank you very much. Mary Davis at TIA. Have a great day.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mary Davis from Tucson International Airport. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. A big shout out to Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial needs. All of our in-studio guests are presented, and actually for that matter, all of our KVOI folks too enjoy the Culligan water. And we thank you, Culligan, for supplying the water to the show and everybody here at the station. John C. Scott, he is the dean of local radio talk. He is right here on this station, 3 to 5 on KVOI every afternoon, Monday through Friday. Then, of course, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. The Wake Up Tucson show airs from 6 to 8 each weekday morning on KVOI. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.